Episode 314, Engagement Series, Incorporating Student Voice.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Empowering Educators Podcast. I am Gretchen, your host and expert lesson learner. I'm a national board certified elementary teacher turned teacher, trainer, and coach. All the lessons I've learned and am learning on my edgy journey, I share with you right here. From every silly mistake to the most glorious successes, you're going to hear stories and strategies that will inspire you to become your best. I have to warn you, as an educator, I can't help but hold you accountable for doing the work. So every episode, I leave you with practical, tangible next steps so you can implement your learning and maximize your impact. Whether you're teaching a lesson or learning one yourself, there's always a lesson if you're willing to pay close attention. Elite educators, that's the secret to staying empowered. Bring on today's lesson.
Hey, elite educators, Gretchen here of Always a Lesson, host of the Empowering Educators podcast. Whether you're teaching a lesson or learning one yourself, this podcast is for you. I'm excited to be talking about how to incorporate student voice in classroom instruction so that student engagement remains at high levels. And so I'll share a story, a lesson, some practical tips, because I want you to put it into action. Well, as you can hear, my voice is not quite the same. I have been down and out with strep, and then I had a sinus infection. And in the midst of all that, I also had to get my wisdom tooth pulled and also had laryngitis. So it has been insanity, all the sickness, all the germs. Plus, we've had a time change, so it's just going to take weeks to get back. I know it's only an hour, but it just is mayhem inside the body. Celebrating St. Patrick's Day and now moving on to Easter, I feel like it's just a whirlwind of activity. So I hope you're hanging in there, excited to finish out the second half of the year strong. And guess what? My book is finally out. I will put the link in the show notes so you can grab it. I have a few chapters specifically on engagement. One of the chapters is called Understanding Student Engagement, and we talk about what student engagement does in the classroom and why it matters. There's another chapter called Getting Started with Student Engagement. So this is helpful with approaching engagement from three directions and building engagement into lessons. But then there's also the Mastering Student Engagement. So if you've got the basics, or if you're a coach working with teachers and they've got the basics, they're ready to move on and do some of the more fun ideas to really increase student engagement. So Always a Lesson, Teacher Essentials for Classroom and Career Success is officially out. I feel like it's been in pre-order status for forever. I'm just so thankful to be able to share what I've learned in seeing teachers teach across the nation, and I feel like it shouldn't be a secret. And I was able to figure out a method for how to attack instruction so there's really big impact on student learning. So I hope you find that roadmap really helpful. Jump around to the chapters that mean the most to you and that you think will serve you best. There's no rhyme or reason to how you have to read a book. You do you. Okay, so this engagement series, we've talked about positive classroom culture and then differentiation and personalization. So now we're moving more in to the depth of what do students need to be doing to be highly engaged. And here's the thing about engagement, the level to which students engage with the material, each other, and the teacher. So that's three things will determine the level to which they learn and then apply their learning. And so if we talk at students, they'll process only a percentage of what we teach and probably won't really apply any of it. If we talk with students, they're going to process a larger percentage and apply a larger percentage. But the more involved students are in the learning process, the deeper their understanding is. And so we have to force ourselves as leaders in the classroom to step back and allow that productive struggle to occur. They have to think. They have to be confused. They have to have a little frustration. It's all part of how learning cements in the brains. And we can be available, like answer tons of questions, even if they're asking the same questions. Sometimes it takes a while for that to sink in. And we can use this time to our advantage. And if we don't nail engagement, then we've let students down. We've really minimized their future success because we're limiting the amount of knowledge and skills that they can acquire. So if we're just talking at them, we limit what they're able to process and apply. If we're talking with them, we increase things a little bit. But if they're more hands-on in the process, now we've allowed them to reach that potential. So if you believe students are capable of learning at deep levels and think student engagement is one way to ensure the learning solidifies in their brains for the long term, then you keep listening to this episode. So I love to share a story. I had a student in third grade. She was smart, but super shy. She hated to get up in front of her peers and share her thoughts, even that they were brilliant. They were brilliant thoughts, and she just didn't want to do it. It took all year. But second by second, she developed confidence and poise to express herself. And so she would stop twirling her hair or biting her lip or fidgeting with her hands. And those were all her coping mechanisms to just make it through whatever she had to say. But the funny thing is, she was a fantastic dancer, like competitive dancer. She performed on stage in front of hundreds of people, and sometimes even in a solo. But in the classroom, things shifted and this nervousness came out. It was like a totally different personality. And her mom, till this day, talks about how proud I would be of her daughter for how far she's come with public speaking and confidence. And so if I hadn't taken the time to get to know her and what the obstacle was to be more engaged in class, I wouldn't know how to help her. How to design a safe place for her to push through that obstacle. And I obviously wouldn't have invested so much time in helping each one of my kids find safety and doing it their way if I didn't truly believe they were capable and if I didn't truly understand the power that their involvement had and their success. Like, I could stand up there all day and talk because I love to talk, but it's not about me. It's about the kids being able to know and understand and be able to do. And it was my job to help them do that. And each student kind of had their own thing that they had to work through. You know, some were excessive talkers. Some just wanted to lead no matter what it was. Some just wanted to put their name on and get group credit. Some wanted to create their own version of the engagement activities. Some dreaded eye contact and speaking. Some hated just to move around. They loved the comfort of their people in their little pod or their area of the classroom. So I had to get to know folks and what was standing in the way for them fully engaging. Student voice is going to look different for each of your students depending on what their needs are. And so I knew I had to highlight specific voices because their contribution just was unmatched. They had phenomenal things to say, and it only could come from them. Like, me translating it or repeating it didn't have the same oomph to the other students, and it didn't help that one child feel confident in what they knew. And so every student should hear the idea of their peers. And I also wanted to make sure I consistently built in time for student voice through something like a self-run book club. That was a doozy. What a great time. Every student felt so empowered, but man, the work to make that happen. I don't want to do that to myself again, but I don't regret a thing because it's the best thing that ever happened. All those kids still talk about that opportunity. And so even though it's hard, sometimes we have to do what is best for them. Students also took their own attendance. They ran their own announcements. They greeted new students with like some personalized attention, like having a buddy. They shared their concerns with a question box that I had in the classroom if they didn't want to say it out loud in front of others. They completed self-reflection so they could voice their own progress and learning. I mean, there were so many tiny ways throughout a day that students could exercise their voices. And so we have to be intentional with how we plan for these, how we teach them to do it safely, confidently, respectfully. You are helping students be their own advocate. And that's a trait many adults don't even have. So what a powerful opportunity to build a life skill. Elite educators, excuse the interruption, but I am so excited to tell you my latest book, Always a Lesson, Teacher Essentials for Classroom and Career Success, is out in print and as an ebook. I've spent the last decade paying attention to what teachers are working on and what actually translates to academic gains for students. I figured out a sequence of steps to follow if you want to improve your own performance in the classroom and help students reach their potential. My book provides practical next steps outlined in a very clear teacher success pathway, and you're going to be able to diagnose the root of obstacles and repair them while they're minor, leaving more time on the clock for learning. I share stories, quotes, examples, printables, tips for novice and master teachers, and more. So go grab yourself and your teacher bestie a copy. Oh, and if you're a teacher leader, pick and pull from the book based on the personalized needs of those you serve. This roadmap can be used in PLCs, PD workshops, book clubs, and coaching cycles. My book is available wherever books are sold. Y'all, together we can transform classroom instruction. Now back to the show. When we talk about student voice, this also appears in a few chapters in my book, three to be exact. One is called Understanding Student Choice and Ownership, why student choice and ownership matters, and building in choice and ownership and what the characteristics are of student choice. And then, of course, mastering student choice and ownership if you're ready to rock. But when we're talking about student voice, what I mean is it allows students to collaborate with their peers and be part of the decision-making process. They have choice in how they demonstrate their learning. They share concerns or questions freely. They have their ideas and their feelings validated. They teach how to share their opinion productively, and they get to know your students as people, their interests, their goals, their desires. And so all of that is the importance of student choice. And so some things to consider are equity. Is every voice being heard? It doesn't have to be heard in the same way, but are we giving value to everyone's voice? Everyone should have access to sharing their ideas and engaging with the content, their peers and the teacher, in order to process. Speaking of processing, allowing everyone time to take in knowledge and sort it in their brains. And that means they need quiet. They need to think. They need to hear it multiple times. They need to hear it in different ways. And all of that allows it to solidify and get in long-term memory. And students' feedback to each other. That's another way to have student voice, is for them to share their opinions of how students are working or their answers or their work product. And obviously that takes a lot of work on us teachers to create a safe place and to teach them how to provide constructive feedback that's kind but helpful. And all of that adds up when you think about, okay, I only have like a few things sprinkled throughout the day where students can exercise their voice. Sometimes that's more important than one activity that's like, oh, we're going to learn to, you know, chat with each other today and really express our opinions. It's not like a one-time thing that you can check off the list. We have to build it in to the fabric of our day. This is how we are in this class. This is what I expect of you. This is how we learn and grow. And so the benefits when we start doing that, they have a sense of belonging in your class. They desire to participate because they know the benefits. They see how well they learn. They see how others respond to them. They know it's a place where they're going to be rooted on and encouraged. They want to give back and help their friends learn as well. They want to arrive on time. I mean, kids are like sprinting to the class so they could go up to the front board and manipulate their picture from absent to present. So that it was one thing I didn't have to do. They were in charge of their attendance, but they just thought it was the coolest thing and they wanted to be first. And so now they're motivated to like be part of this thing. They complete their assignments fully when they know you're actually listening to them and you really want to pull out the best of them. I mean, I remember kids spending hours on essays because they had so much to say and they wanted me to know how much they knew. And I said, guys, we're going to have to cut it off. We don't have enough time. And they're like, no, we'll spend our recess in here. Like, I'm not done. I'm so proud of it. And I'm like, wow, like what a shift from I can't wait to showcase what I've learned to, okay, cool, I'm out. Like, I just want to be done with the assignment. They just put their best effort in everything, and they're motivated to keep trying when something's hard because they know what it feels like to be successful. They know you're not going to give up on them, that they can't just say, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or I don't get it. Like, we're going to keep hacking it until we do get it, and that's okay, and it might take some time. And when we spend time relating content to them, because we've spent time getting to know them, now they feel even more connected to like, I see how this applies to me. I see why I should pay attention. I see why I should really apply this information because it's interesting to me. It relates to me. And just the rewards of autonomy. I mean, as adults, don't we all just want to be able to do our own thing and make our own decisions and have freedom? I mean, so do kids, right? So to be able to build in their voice and giving them some choice in things is one way to really give them that sense of autonomy. And it just ignites their passion. They start to come alive and show more of their human side. And you can use that and build it in your math word problems or your project-based learning can have to do with their interests. But I would say most of all, my proudest accomplishment as a teacher is watching students lead their peers and do it well, do it successfully, do it in a humble way, do it in a respectful and safe way, and to watch the peers respect each other in their roles and listen and follow through is just, it's rewarding for me. Like, wow, look at what we were able to do together. And it's all because I prioritize student voice over me getting through content, me being the star of the show. Cause it's not, y'all, I passed this grade. I don't need to prove what I know. You need to prove what you know. So what does student voice have to do with engagement? You're probably wondering, like, this is the engagement series. Where are you going? I mean, it has everything to do with it. It's providing opportunities for students to use their voices, share their opinions with their peers in a nice, respectful environment, and it allows students to deepen their understanding of content because they're highlighting each other's ideas and talents. And so student choice, voice, engagement, it all goes hand in hand. If we assume students will know how to engage and use their voice, then we are just missing a huge opportunity to leverage life skills. Students need to be taught like how to operate in a new learning experience. They like to know the rules of the game. They want autonomy, but they need to be held accountable. So teachers provide the bumpers. That's what I'm going to call them. It's the guidance of how to engage and how to express yourself. And that takes numerous repetitions. So just continue to build in student voice in your engagement opportunities in your lessons, even when the content changes, because they're familiar with how to engage, they're familiar with opportunities to voice their opinion and how to do that. So just give them the reps, let them practice. You provide the bumpers of how to do it, provide the accountability to make sure they engage at full levels, but also that they're reminded of the expectations and how to do it appropriately. I mean, this helps students see how skills transfer from content to environment, grade level, school to school, job to job, it will always apply. And so the lesson here is student voice is engagement. It's essential in your classroom environment. Our instruction should mimic the kids who are doing the learning, and we can't mimic them if we don't build in time for them to be heard. All right, so what are our next steps? I want you first to brainstorm a list of student voice options that you're currently using in the classroom. And it's okay if it's short, and it's okay if the list has nothing on it. Number two, cross off the ones that are ineffective. They're not leading to results. You've just been using them. Maybe your colleagues use them. Maybe your schools use them. Maybe your mentor said to do them, but it's not actually helping your students. Third, circle the ones that you need to do more consistently. Because remember, I talk a lot about can't be like the one and done. We can't just do this, hey, student voice activity. It's like, no, it's got to be sprinkled in, has to be the fabric of how you operate. So circle the ones that you're like, these are good, this is helpful, but I'm just not doing them enough. Step four, now I want you to add on to this list. I want you to add three or four new ideas for ways to build in more voice throughout your lesson. I've given you some ideas of what I did in my class. You can do a Google search. You can ask colleagues. They don't have to be this big, major thing. They just need to be something you can do over and over, regardless of content, regardless of the kind of lesson, that they are just how you operate. It's the culture. It's how we interact together. And then last, you're going to revisit your list. On a weekly basis would be good as you plan your lessons. Use what's working. Ditch what doesn't. Research new options, collaborate with colleagues, and repeat that over and over. So first, you're brainstorming your list that you currently use. Second, crossing off the ones that are not working. Third, circling the ones you need to be more consistent with. Fourth, you're going to add three or four new ones. Five, you're going to revisit and revise. All right, elite educators, that is a wrap for this week's podcast on incorporating student voice to increase the quality of student engagement during a lesson. Now go out and be great because you've just been empowered.